This is Clarence Twigg speaking on January 31st, 1988. And I would like to share with you my convictions concerning God's power in the lives of people to bring healing and wholeness. In doing so, I should like to make plain that I do not claim or pretend to be a healer, but rather as a servant of God, one called to proclaim His word, make known the good news, claim His promises in making them known to others, and invite them to look to Him for their need and claim His promise for themselves. In doing so, I'm reminded of an experience that I had more than 30 years ago in the first parish I served in the Southwest in New Mexico. The town was a small community at that time, straddling Route 84 south of Albuquerque, New Mexico, with a hospital that was a osteopathic chiropractic hospital. Yet it served, because there was no other facility nearby, the needs of the entire community. I was one of three clergy in the community that were Protestant, and it was not uncommon when someone would find themselves in the hospital in need, without a church home or identification, for the hospital administrator or the charge nurse to call a clergy and invite them to come and visit such a person. Late one Saturday evening, I received such a call. I was asked to come to the hospital immediately because this woman in need did not seem to have friends or relationship in the immediate community. She had been brought into the hospital from a small, humble log home out in the rural area, and she was in very serious condition of health. They did not expect her to live the night out. Would I come? I made my journey to the hospital immediately, stopped to talk to the charge nurse, and I was asked not to discuss with the patient her actual condition. They did not expect her to live beyond midnight. She was a victim of cancer, an advanced stage, which the medical staff had declared to be terminal. I promised that I would not discuss their diagnosis, but indicated as a servant of the Lord that I would and must feel free to speak with her about her spiritual condition and her relationship to her Savior. I introduced myself upon entering the room, and I observed that her pain was so acute she, as she explained, could not stand more than the weight of the bedsheet over her body. And there were little nodules about the length and the size of the end of my little finger that covered her entire body. She explained to me that she had been told that she was very, very ill, and she had all of these bumps on her body. We talked about who I was and who she was, how old she was, where she was from, and she explained that she had come from the South, the hill country of our country. And long ago, when she was a little girl, she said that, yes, she had come to know Jesus, that she had given her life to him. But that was a long time ago, and she had wandered a long way from him. I asked her about her relationship to God at this point in her life, and she began to shed some tears and confess that it wasn't very good. She wasn't very happy with it or proud of it. And then I asked her what she would like to do about it, assuring her that our Savior was right where she had left him so far as his relationship to her was concerned, and that he was waiting to meet and address her needs if she was willing to meet him where she left off with him. And so we talked about how one can commit their life to Christ anew and afresh and find forgiveness and find hope and reconciliation. She said she would like to do this. So I prayed with her and for her, and then asked her to pray and commit her life to her Heavenly Father once again, and to do with her life as was well-pleasing with him. And if it was his will, that he would undertake for her and heal her. Then I prayed for her once again and asked if it would be the Heavenly Father's will he would heal her, but that his will would be done in her life. After we concluded the prayer together, and she had stated her case and asked for God's blessing and forgiveness, and if his will, healing, something moved me very suddenly that I cannot to this day explain, to say, in the face of all that I knew from the medical staff, that she was not expected to live past midnight, that I would see her in the morning, that I would be back. And I bid her good night. The next morning, I came to greet her, and she was sitting up in bed. And mind you, there was not a bump on her body. A week later, she was released from the hospital. 10 days later, when I inquired after her, she was doing her housework and caring for her family. Do I believe that God can heal people? Yes, I most certainly do. What kind of healing did he perform in this woman's life? Medically, the full extent of that, I do not know. This I know. She was not supposed to live beyond midnight. And 10 days later, there was not a bump on her body, and she was keeping house for her family. Since that time, more than 30 years ago, I do not know what has become of this woman, but that God intersected her life when she was willing to open her heart and life to him, that I know brought a change. Do I believe that God heals? Yes, I believe he heals because I have experienced it. I am his child, and I am a servant, a minister of the gospel today, only because he healed me. And what I'm about to tell you now, I tell you in all humility. I was a kindergartner who was born as an asthmatic. I became ill. I remember it wasn't asthma, but it was some other complication. The doctors had come and gone, as doctors did in those days with home visits several times. And I remember the whispering that went on as the doctor told my parents that I would not live to see sunrise. I remember their conversations at the foot of my bed and then in the next room, and mother saying to dad, "Let's call those missionary friends of ours." They were missionaries who had served in India and who had a deep faith in God and believed that one can call upon Him and claim His promises in times of need, even an extreme need for healing. So they went out, found a telephone, called these friends. They came over immediately, and I can remember the two missionary men standing at the head of my bed, laying their hands on my forehead after they had anointed them with oil and my forehead with oil, and calling upon the name of God, calling in terms of His promises, and asking God, if it be His will, that He would spare me. All this time, while they prayed, the doctor stood at the foot of the bed. When they finished praying, the fever was gone. The doctor examined me, and he said, "If I had not seen this with my own eyes, I would not have believed it. But this boy is going to live. Something has happened that I do not understand. But he is going to live." And so, I personally have experienced God's intervention as a little kindergartner who grew to be a man. And not only did God intervene in my life when I was a kindergartner, but I believe because He wanted me to be His servant, He did so again when I was in my last year of college and I became ill. And a skin allergy that I have became infected. And the doctors came because I was comatose. A specialist who had not wanted to come to the home, but whom my parents insisted come to the home. A specialist in the city of Chicago where my parents resided, and I had come for a weekend away from school and then had become ill, entered the room and said unequivocally, "He has a rare infection that has invaded his skin allergy and conditioned. It has invaded the areas around his eyes. It has also invaded the rest of his biological system, and he's a mess. He is not going to live." Though I was comatose, I heard every word he said, but was physically incapable of responding. I wanted to kick him, for he stood right at the foot of the bed within reach of my foot if I could have moved it. But the church I had been serving had found out and learned that I would not be there because I was ill. So they began to pray. And the doctor was proven to be wrong. Oh, his medication and skill was used of God as his gift. and I was healed, not in an instant, but I was raised up that week from a comatose status to where I was conscious and could take nourishment, and then the infection was healed, and finally I was restored to health to resume my studies at school. I believe that God intervened in my life as a kindergartner and again in college because He wanted me to serve Him. I have a sense of calling that I am bought with a price, that I am not my own, that I have no options but to serve the One who has redeemed me. And on two occasions in my life has given my life back to me. I believe that God can do all things, that as He said to Mary when the Holy Spirit came upon her, no word from God is without power.